Hello and welcome to Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm so glad and excited today because we have Giselle in the studio, the queen of, well, astrology. I saw a little bit of human design as I wasn't aware of anything about the Midheaven and I mean the branding in astrology. I know a little bit about human design. I know a little bit about astrology, but how did you come to these yourself? Were you born in a family where your mom and dad are into astrology or human design or design, or how did you come across that?
So I'm definitely not from a family that was into all of this stuff. I would say all of the women in my family are like highly intuitive, like very witchy, but it's been like I live in a very conservative part of Canada. So those things just are kind of seen as very woo and they're not practical. And, people here really value like working hard and all of these different things. So I actually come from a farming background. I grew up on a farm. So when I started doing astrology and human design, my parents were very nervous. I'm really, really lucky that I have parents who are open and they're very like, just do what you want to do. But they were very, very nervous about how are you going to make money doing this? My background is that I was a therapist before. And because I just like, I've always loved people. I've always loved the study of people. That's why I went into psychology. And after a few years of being a therapist, I just really felt like there was still something missing from the conversations we were having about people and about humanity and about like, our individual personalities. And then I stumbled on astrology and human design. I kind of found them at the same time. And I started studying them for myself. And then I integrated it a little bit into my practice with the clients that were open to it or excited about it. And then I live in a really small city. There's only like 250,000 people here. And so word kind of spread like wildfire that I was doing these readings and it just took off. And so it was never really the path. It was just something that I started to explore because of my own curiosity. And then from that, I had my own spiritual awakening and, left my therapy practice and came into this full time. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a wild journey of getting here.
Wow. And how was it for you to switch from, like, was it psychology and therapy?
Yeah, so I have a degree in social work, but I studied psychology as well. So it was like a mix of both. But honestly, it wasn't that, I don't want to say it wasn't that hard. The hardest part was making the decision of like, I put 10 years of my life into going to school and building this practice and doing all these different things. So making that decision to pivot was hard, but it wasn't that challenging because I know my own astrology and I know my own design. So I knew that I was choosing a path that was correct for me. And I got a lot of like little signs along the way of like, yes, you're going to be supported, you're going to be taken care of, you're going to be okay. So of course there have been challenges, but there wasn't a lot of doubt in my mind that this is what I was supposed to be doing.
What did you feel was missing that you actually found in astrology and human design?
I think it was more like the bigger picture stuff, right? So we're taught so much in the therapy world about the brain and about, cognitive behavioral therapy and changing thoughts and all of these different things. And I always just felt like there was something more going on. Sometimes I would have clients where there would be no reason for some of the anxieties that they were having. And I just was always like, what is going on here? Like, where is this from? And then when I started studying astrology and saw just how much information is in the birth chart, I was like, okay, here we go. This is what's happening. The other thing that I really love about astrology and human design is it helps me to get to know a client really fast versus in therapy, it takes a few sessions to really know them and see them and understand their patterns. Where when you have the map of someone in front of you, it's a lot easier to get into it quicker.
Yeah, it's like feeling a little bit naked if someone knows your astrology chart.
It does feel, it's very vulnerable sometimes.
I have a friend of mine. She got into astrology, I think, last year. So she has read my chart and everything, and then I'm also like, oh, she probably knows this is going on. But at the same time, it's also like, well, it's one aspect of me. Like, it's...
Yeah, and it's just one part.
yeah. So the thing that I invited you to talk about in the podcast was, I hope to pronounce it correctly. Is it midheaven
Yeah, that's
placement?
correct. Yes, it is. Yeah.
What is midheaven placement? Because on this chat, I heard about it the first time in my life, and I was like, this and branding. I was like, what do you mean? What is
Yeah.
it? Tell me.
Yeah. So in astrology, in your birth chart, we have four different points. Sometimes they're called the angles, and they all speak to a different area of life and one of the like four main areas of life, right? We have the self, we have the home and family, we have partnership, and then we have our career or our reputation. And so the midheaven is that last point. It is the pinnacle of the chart. It's at the very top of the chart. And so it's the energy that we're growing into. And so often when we start a business or when we set our sights on a certain career, it's aligned with our midheaven because that is our legacy. It's what we're here to leave behind. It's what we're here to be known for. It's not necessarily a personal part. So a lot of people will hear about their midheaven and be like, I don't resonate with that at all. But it's not, it's because it's not you, it's your reputation and it's how people perceive you. It's it's something totally separate from your personality. So as far as branding goes, when you brand in alignment with that energy, your brand feels really cohesive and it just really like lands for people.
Which one are you?
I'm a Libra midheaven.
And how did you use that for your branding?
Yeah, so Libra midheavens, often we go into therapy or some type of work where we are creating balance, right? Because that's what Libra represents. So you can see the midheaven in sometimes the types of careers people choose. Sometimes you see it in the role that they play at work. And then you can see it often in people's branding if they're more aware of this part of themselves. And so the Libra part of me is the part of me that's very like feminine. Like my brand is very feminine. Like people always say, this is a brand that is for the girls. And it's because of that Libra influence. So I bring a lot of these elements. I also bring a lot of just like goddess work and feminine energy work and relationship work. That was my focus as a therapist before. I just love love and I love relationships. So all of these things that Libra represents are a huge part of my work and my career.
And so for branding, because now I'm thinking about your, at least your Instagram, it's like pinkish, it's these white letters. I'm thinking something like, yeah, like we were saying, girly. So how would you, okay, if someone is like, okay, I'm Libra too, how do they know? Because branding is not, branding is about, how you look visually. How do they know what to do? Like, how did you decide also on this? Like, was it your favorite color before or?
So I love these questions. This is why I created, like, we have a course called Radiant Design that teaches people my process because I actually don't just use the midheaven. I also use the rising sign. So my brand is technically a Sagittarius Libra blend. But I chose pink because I love pink. You can do a Libra brand without doing.
Okay.
I just have
Is
always.
there anything about the colors? I'm just curious because I don't know
Yeah.
anything about it.
Yeah, it's more the vibe of the colors. So like jewel tones versus pastels versus more neutrals. Like it's more the vibe than like specific colors. I think that when you start to say, oh, all Scorpio midheaven should use these colors, like it just takes some of the magic and the fun out of branding. I think you have to love your brand at the end of the day. So if you are a Libra midheaven and you're like, I do not want pastels or pinks, then we find something else that works. Right. So there's a lot of different ways that you can work with it. But for me, my brand has changed a lot over the years. Like I've been kind of tweaking it and slowly figuring out how exactly I want it to look. But a huge part of why it looks the way that it does is because those are things that are visually appealing to me. So it's definitely not that all Libra midheavens have to have this super like girly pop pink 2000s inspired brand.
It's cute though. It's really
Yeah.
nice. I like
Yeah,
it.
I love it. I feel like my like inner child needed a place to play with that. Right? So I've really bring out that part of me. But Libra actually is a lot of times connected to black and white. So you'll see a lot of Libra midheavens who use black and white in their branding. What is your midheaven? Do you know?
Is the Capricorn? Capricorn?
Capricorn. I
Capricorn.
love Capricorn brand.
So you were saying something about pioneering and too busy something to be worried. Yeah, it's somewhere on my mind.
Yes. I love Capricorn brands because they're timeless. These are often the brands where it's like when you really, because Capricorn midheavens build legacy throughout their lives. Like everything that you're building is building upon the last thing that you built. There's such a deep, deep legacy component with Capricorn. And so I find that Capricorn midheaven brands are just really timeless and elegant. And you can bring in other elements of like fun and play, but we kind of look to you guys of like, wow, like look at, they're kind of an element of like, oh, they've got their shit together a little bit with Capricorn brands, which
from
is
the
really,
outside.
yes. Well, but that's exactly what it is in heaven. Like as a Libra midheaven, because this doesn't just show up in business, it shows up in every area of life. I will meet people like on a night out and they'll be like, you are the sweetest person on the planet. And I'm like, I'm actually pretty fiery, but like, this is the perception that people have, right?
Yeah.
That's the perception of the Capricorn midheaven, is that you guys have it all together, even though obviously nobody has it all together, but that's how people see you.
And what questions could I ask myself to make it more like this Capricorn midheaven in my profile? Because I haven't used it. I just read on the thread and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so interesting. And then I checked your profile and it's like, okay, like she's got her like everything there.
Yeah. Like how to make it really cohesive and very, what's your rising sign?
Say again.
What is your rising sign? Do you know that one?
I don't know.
Yes.
But I have this here.
Okay. Yes. Let me see that. Okay. So you are a Gemini rising. Let me just
okay.
Yeah, so yours would be a Gemini Capricorn blend, which is really fun. So the Capricorn energy is bringing in wisdom and bringing in a maturity, and then the Gemini energy is bringing in innocence and more of a childlike energy. So you want to like blend those two things, being like curious and open and having this joie de vivre, which is that Gemini energy, but also having a bit of a groundedness. I always say with Capricorn midheavens, when your brand is really grounded and when there's an element of like that you are the expert or you are the authority or that there's like an elder energy with Capricorn, that's when things really land for you, because we do tend to look to you guys as role models. So it's like, even if you feel like you're not a role model or an authority, the more you lean into that, the easier it is for us to find you.
Interesting. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'll think about it, because also what you're saying about childish, childlike. I recently posted, I think, 3 reels where I was just sarcastically joking with my boyfriend about, there was one about manifestation and one about presence and something. It's just like, you know, pranking a little bit. And oh my gosh, those reels went viral.
Yes, of
and,
course.
And this is, I was like, oh, what about like where I talk things that are, you know, serious? But then I was like, I'll just go with this, because that's also me. But I usually show it in social situations where I'm with someone, or when I'm in a conversation, like when I'm with you, or when I'm with my partner, or when I'm at a party. It's like, well, maybe it's the time to bring this one out.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I love this work, because then you can start to see how, okay, we have these different versions of ourselves and they all need to be expressed in our business, especially if our business is our personal business. It's our personal brand, right?
Yeah. So if I want to get to know more, you said you have a course that it's self-paced, that I can just go on your profile and find it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Amazing. Those who are listening to the podcast can do that, because
yes.
This stuff is pretty, pretty nice. So when you started your business, did you feel like you were starting a business, or was it just like, oh, I'm just going to do some astrology reading?
Yeah, no, it didn't feel like a business. I was like a year in and I was like, oh, I need to do bookkeeping and I need to do taxes. So I was like, wait, what is happening? That was never really the plan. Although In my work as a therapist, I was already an entrepreneur. Like I was doing work on my own already. So that part felt still kind of businessy, but no, it definitely just felt like it was like for fun. It was a hobby. It was just something that I enjoyed to do. And then eventually I was like, okay, I need to treat this like the business that it is.
And what was the switch point where you were like, okay, I am a business owner that actually is doing the astrology and human design business? Because it's not an easy topic. I have
Yeah.
people who love it, who totally own it, and then I
Yeah.
have people who are a little bit, kind of secret about it. They love it, but they don't show it to the world because they think they're maybe I'm a little bit weird because I am reading human design maps and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of conditioning around it. And I really struggled with that at the beginning because there are some people in any spiritual kind of path, whether it's astrology or tarot or mediumship or whatever, there are some people that are very not grounded and very like in the clouds and, next level. And I'm a very grounded, practical person. I like to use these tools to make our lives better, and so I did definitely struggle with that when I first started, of like, oh, what are people going to think of me? Right. Especially because I had, some authority in my community or in my life as a therapist. I had a lot of people who looked up to me. And so I just, it that was challenging for sure. But I think the switch was my Saturn return. So during my Saturn
What
return,
is that?
okay, so the Saturn return is something that we all experience between ages 28 and 30. It's essentially our initiation into adulthood, and that's when our lives fall apart so that they can kind of come back together. It's also when we grow up, it's when we become our own parent. And there's certain parts of my chart, something called the North Node, that really speaks to like my soul's path in this lifetime is spiritual business, specifically like bridging business with like intuition. And so I just really started to take it seriously during my Saturn return. I was like, okay, nobody's coming to save me. If I want this to be, what I can see it becoming, I really need to take responsibility for it. And it was just kind of a light bulb or a switch. I also brought my sister into the business, and that really helped too. Just seeing that now the cosmic laundry is responsible for both of us and not just me. And that created a bit of a switch as well.
Wow, nice. What were the steps? Were you just consulting at the beginning? Did you have a membership or did you have a course straight away? Just like really like business-wise, how did you go about it?
Oh my gosh. So I have always, this is a huge thing. I've always just done too much. So at the beginning, courses, I had workshops, I had readings, I was doing coaching, I was doing like, I had a podcast, I did all of it because I'm a Gemini, so I get very excited and then I just want to jump in and do something. So honestly, my energy at the beginning was very scattered and I had to pare it down, but it was mostly at the beginning readings. And then I had a coaching program at that time that was group coaching. And it was really about teaching people their astrology and their human design and having them sink into it and root into
Did you
that.
do those together?
Yes. Yeah.
I know people who do like one or the other, but then
Yes.
together in a group coaching, you're the first one.
Yes. Yeah. I think we're like, even our soul guides, which is my absolute favorite thing we create, it's like a digital, or you can get them printed now. It's a PDF of all of your stuff. Like, I look at your birth chart, I write it all out, I go, this is who you are, and I send it to you. Even those, I think we're the only people that are doing astrology and human design. People usually choose and then they focus on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you had group coaching and you did readings and then some events online in person.
Yeah. I did in-person workshops and then I started to expand into them online, but I started with them here in Saskatoon, just doing eclipse workshops and retrograde workshops and all of these different things. My best friend at the time owned a juice company and it was this beautiful, gorgeous space that she just let me use whenever I wanted. So we had workshops all the time because there was no cost for me to do them. So yeah, there was a lot of things, but I would say it was still mostly readings at that time.
And How did you and what did you switch to?
Yeah, so now we do still a lot of readings, but mostly what I do now is mentorship. I teach people astrology and human design, or I do like business style mentorship, where I teach people how to build a business that is in aligned with their astrology or design. So that would be like the bulk of my day is like working with my clients or like studying their charts or really, putting energy and attention into them. But we have some courses and the membership as well, and our soul guides. That's our second biggest thing.
What is the soul guides?
So it's essentially like a digital reading. What happened when I was doing readings was people were coming back in 6 months later and being like, I don't really remember anything that you said. Like, can we do this again? And I wanted to create something that people could take home. So it's a gorgeous, like, my sister is an artist. So she created a ton of art and illustrations for it. It's this beautiful, essentially, it's like a coffee table book. And it has the layout or the map of your astrology and your design. So if you're like, oh yeah, what is my North Node again? You can just flip through it and find it and read about it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I it's something I'm very proud of. It took a lot of work to design and put together and to, but they are so fun and so rewarding. And yeah, a huge part of our business now is soul guides as well.
Okay. And what do people do in the membership?
Yeah, so last year it was mostly coaching. So I would kind of choose a theme for each month and then we'd go into that. This year I want to go back into more horoscopes. We're going back into learning astrology. We're going to go through all 12 of the different archetypes and what they represent and how to find it in your chart and what it means, right? So we're really diving into astrology and human design this year in a really, really big way. And I'm really excited about it.
All right. For someone who's maybe starting with astrology as a business, so they want to also do maybe readings, maybe they're not sure yet. What would you suggest? Because like
Yeah.
looking back, you would be like, well, that was a great idea. That wasn't such a great idea.
Yeah, I would say a lot of it depends on their energy type, honestly, for human design. If you're a generator or a manifesting generator and you have the energy to do one-on-one readings and to do a lot of them, I do think that's a great place to start because you learn so much about astrology and about your own practice as an astrologer through reading people's charts. I think a lot of times people want to bypass that and they want to go directly into selling courses because that is where like it's easier, right? But there is a lot of wisdom and being able to find your own path as an astrologer, you have to get your hands on as many charts as you can, and you have to start seeing as many things as you can. But projectors, reflectors, they just don't always have the energy for a bunch of readings. So they might do less and have to start doing coaching or like a group coaching or courses at the beginning. I would say, like, you have to, if you look at your own chart and you study your own chart, there'll be a map in there for you of what is correct for you and what's going to work best for you.
That's a great suggestion. That's a good, also like this is why you should study your chart. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's one of those things where, like, I'm even guilty of this sometimes. I'll go months without looking at my own chart. And I'm like, here I am telling everyone else about their stuff, but I'm like, I'm not doing mine. So I think that's really important. But also, I think just following what feels exciting to you, too. If you're not excited about readings and there's something else that is really alive in you, trusting that as well.
True. Yeah. Is there money in astrology and human design?
Yes. So astrology is set to be a $12 billion industry by 2030.
Mamma mia.
Yes. So this is, it's, I think it's like the next health and wellness, sphere. So there is money in it, but you have to, selling something like astrology or human design is different from selling like a product or skincare or whatever. You have to do your own work to figure out who you are. Most people who buy from me, I think I'm really smart and I think I have a very great take on astrology, and I think that my work is great, but most people buy from me because they'll come to me and say, "You are so yourself. I want to be just as myself as you are yourself." So the hardest part, I think, with selling something like astrology or human design is you have to live it. And I think that's where sometimes there's a disconnect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. So how do you show that to people, and then they see it and then they buy it from you?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just there's a certain, I think, allowing that I have with my clients, or even in the way that I show up online. Like, I don't know if you saw my story the other day, but I posted a story. The last sentence that I was talking about how I have hot foods digestion, so I like to like add warm water to my smoothies and stuff like that. But the last sentence was illegible. Like, it didn't make any sense. I was like, what was I trying to say? And then instead of like deleting the post, I just, you know, reposted it. And I was like, oh my God, did I have a stroke? Like, so sorry that you guys had to read that. Here's what I was trying to say. And those are the things often where people will reach out and be like, I'm so happy that you didn't delete it, or that you don't try to be perfect, or that you make mistakes and you bring us into that. And it's so interesting because I used to have such a problem with that. I wanted to be perfect, and I wanted to be the good girl, and I wanted to do everything a certain kind of way. And it's ironic because the less perfect I am, like, the more money we make in our business. It's insane, actually.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
So what has been your least perfect moment where you made the most money?
Oh yeah. So even thinking about some of my launches, like some of my launches that have been so messy, like our mentorship is a good example. I've never had a landing page for it. I don't have anything online. I will sometimes just post, "Hi, I'm taking mentors or mentees, and then please DM me." Like, there's no marketing strategy. There's no back end. There's nothing set up. It's so messy. We're changing this in 2024, mostly because I'm driving myself insane. But our mentorship is like where we make the most of our money. And it's always the first time I signed a mentorship client, and I was like, oh, this was from me just posting online saying, "I'm looking for more mentees. If you want to learn astrology, DM me." We had a 5-minute call. They sent me a bunch of money. I was like, oh, this goes against everything that I've been taught about business, of how perfect and specific and how planned out and strategic you have to be. I do think that there's a time and a place for strategy, because without it, you get a little bit burnt out and all over the place. But I think that what is more important than strategy for me in my business anyway has just been being myself. So I don't even think it's necessarily about being imperfect or making mistakes. It's just that that's a really big part of my design. So in human design, have you heard of like the third line, or like, is that something that you've
on
heard
the
of
human design?
Yes.
Probably if I would open up my profile, I would see it somewhere. Is it the number
yes.
three?
Yes, exactly. So if you open your profile, like, someone will have a 1-3 or a 3-5 or a 6-2. Anyone with a
5-1.
You're a 5-1. That's
yeah.
you. Yeah. So this wouldn't necessarily work for you. This is where we're also different. I'm a third line. So third lines are here to make mistakes and to tell other people, these are the mistakes that I made. We're really here to, that's our role. So the more mistakes I make and the more honest I am about that, the more people trust me. Whereas for you as a 5-1, you're really here to lead, and you're here to have answers, and you have this like natural magnetism that draws people to you. It's not that you can't make mistakes, but it's, you're just never going to make as many mistakes in your business as I make in mine, because we're just set up differently. She's like, maybe not.
I don't know. Is the one on the left side, right? The 5.1, or was it?
Yeah,
I'm just,
you're looking it up.
Yeah, I just have, because I recently recorded a couple of podcasts with the human
I
designer.
I love seeing it. So yeah, you're a 5-1. I
this
mean,
one,
manifesting generators move very fast. I just did a post about this yesterday. We do make a lot of mistakes, so you'll make a bit of
oh yeah.
But the 5-1 energy is really, really sexy, honestly, and very good for business. I'm a 3-5, so I have the 5 as well. And something that I love about the fifth line for us is that we can We're here to kind of get on a soapbox or get up and to share a message with people. So I find that social media and podcasting and anything where we have to have a certain type of influence is a little bit easier for Fifth Lines than it is for the other profiles.
It's just when you're saying about the mistakes, it's like, well, I'm doing so many things, and oh, there was a mistake. I was like, oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yes, with the manifesting generator piece. Yeah, exactly.
I remember when I used to teach English. I was teaching English in Vancouver, by the way, as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh
Oh, that's
gosh,
why
like,
you know. That's why you know the layout of Canada.
approximately.
Yeah.
I used to be a permanent resident there, but yeah, I didn't
Oh,
stay
that's
long
cool.
enough. Yeah, but I remember I went to Vietnam and I had to apply for these jobs and I would go for interviews. It could be like 10 interviews per day, or like the emails when you send out, it could be like 20 emails. And then you don't even think about that someone has not answered or refused you because you send so many.
Yes, yeah, exactly. It's like a lot of things can get lost in there because you're doing so much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. All right. From the business side, so you said you lead with your mostly with your heart or what your intuition, how you feel. Have you automated anything, or is there anything in your business that you know that runs smoothly and I love it and it helps my business?
Yes, so we're starting to automate more. This is, I feel like I am a work harder, not smarter person. I'm like, this needs to be done. I will do it right now. The process of automating and doing that stuff at the upfront is so boring to me. So I, for the last 5 years, have not really automated anything. But now that my sister is in the business and she's a projector, she is a Virgo midheaven. So she's the complete opposite of me. She's like, everything needs to be automated, everything needs to have its place, everything needs to be spelt correctly. So
And you're
she,
like, you do it.
that's exactly it. She is the one that is doing all of that back end work. So she's starting to build those things out. It's not that we don't have anything automated, like I, you know, scheduling with me is automated. All of my like courses and stuff are just automated on the back end. I have, you know, an email sequence that's automated. So there are some things, but I'm also launching new things all the time. As an MG, I'm sure you know this struggle of just always wanting to do something new. And
You know
so
what? I tried 1 year because I had a business coach and they were like, "What is making the most money?" I'm like, "This thing. So just do this thing." I think I drowned in a depression because
yes, you
it was
can do that. Yeah.
insane. I was like, "Okay, I'll just do that." And at one point I'm like, "I'm so done with this. This is that like it's just like argh.
Yes,
I
that's
just
exactly
want a
it.
lounge. I have rockets inside of me."
I totally feel that. Like, we just
But how
cannot
do
do
you,
this thing.
how do you cope with that? Because, from the business side, it's like, always something new, 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 new. Or you just accept it as like, whatever, I'll just launch new.
Yes, I have just accepted it. So, but what I have started to do, because that process of always launching something new does get tiring. It gets old, right? So you're like, building. So I have like our most popular things, like the Soul Guide, like our Midheaven course, which is called Radiant Design, for those that, you know, want to go look for it. Like, those things I keep automated so that they're always there and I can direct people to them, because I think those are the most beneficial things that we sell, honestly. And so because I have those like foundations or those pillars, then I have a little bit more space to play. I have a little bit more space to do the other things that I'm really excited about. And I find that if I'm excited about something enough that I launch it 3 times, then I make it a core program.
Oh,
I don't
that's
get to
good.
that third launch, just the season.
It's good. I was also thinking about because membership is a good thing because in membership, every month is something. If there's a theme, you can just like kind of like have a mini lounge, but
Yes,
it's
that's
under one umbrella, which doesn't confuse other people.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's like you get to play and explore and do a bunch of different things, but it's one program.
Yeah, manifestor generator problems.
It is totally, it's such a challenge.
No, but it's a good one. And then you also said you have your sister in your business, and she was your first hire, and you both work in this together, right?
Yes, yeah.
So how was that taking her and actually also taking someone with you? Because very often, you start reading the charts and you go in this like solopreneur journey, but it's nice to have a team, right?
Yes, it is.
And yeah, tell me about how you hired her, why you chose her, and how it's helping your business.
So I actually brought her in. She's a part owner now, because I wanted somebody to share a bit of the responsibility. I'm also her older sister. So I was like, if I hire her and it's not an equal partnership, the dynamic here is going to be so me nagging her and being like, you need to get this done. You need to da, 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 da. She really thrives with having a bit more responsibility. And I just could really see our skills are so different. We are very similar in a lot of ways, but mostly we are very different. And I just knew that I really needed a lot of the skills that she brings into my life. I also was using her as a resource a lot already anyways, like asking her opinion on things and kind of just going to her for certain things. So I was like, I might as well just like bring you into this. And so that has been really great. It's made being a business owner a lot more enjoyable because when I'm planning things out or we're launching something, it's like not just me, like there's the two of us and we're best friends too. So it just feels really fun. But I chose her mostly because I really trust her. We just have a really special relationship and bond. And then she has a lot of those skills that I just like do not have and could not be bothered to ever have or develop.
If you had to hire someone else, who would be the next hire in your business?
So we already actually have a friend in mind that I'm like, the moment that we can hire another full-time employee, her name is Tanya, and she is like our little, when we do events or workshops, we did a really, really big event last summer where I did a big speaking gig. And we brought her and she was like our little momager. She makes sure that we're eating and makes sure that we're taken care of.
Oh,
Has
yeah.
that like very nurturing quality. And then she's also just so resourceful and resilient and can do anything. I text her and I'm like, I don't know how to do this. She's like, oh, I do. Let me do it for you. So just so, so
That's a
helpful.
match.
Yes, exactly. She is just very, very smart. And she has a background in business. She's done a lot of business coaching and a lot of work with entrepreneurs. So we've already scoped out our next hire. Although I would love to someday have an in-house designer, like graphic designer, because aesthetics are really, really important to me. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, I just really want something like this created. And I would love to just have a designer that I could message that, please make this for me this week,
Yeah. Well,
someday.
sending it out to the universe, manifesting really fast. Someone's calling right now.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. What has been your highest month in your astrology human design business, and what did you do to make it happen, or how did you attract it, or whatever other fluffy words we want to use?
Yes. So I would say our highest month, this is Chantal's side of the business. So she knows our numbers, but I think it was 15K around there. And that was mostly like really, really pushing a new product. So that was when we were launching a few different things at once. We were launching Radiant Design. We had our soul guides. We had a bunch of different things. And that was one of those times where I had a bit more of a system in place. I will say, I think the thing that makes the difference between the months that are over 10K, which is most months, but is really how well resourced and how relaxed I am, honestly. When I'm really, really stressed out and overwhelmed, we just don't make money. Like it's really, really interesting. If I am not doing well, the business really suffers. And I think it's because so much of So much of this business requires me and my energy and my excitement and my vitality and positivity. So I've also noticed that the more I love a product, the more it sells as well too. If I'm like, oh, I know this is helpful and people like it, but I don't personally love it. I don't think it's pretty, or I don't, there's something missing or whatever. It's actually very, very hard for me to sell.
How do you take care of yourself so you are in that high energy and relaxed? Because I mean, it's a business. I wouldn't say that I'm stressed all the time, but there are so many little things to do on a daily basis that it can't be just like I'm relaxing here on the beach with a cocktail.
Yes, that's exactly it. I tried to do that last year. I moved to Hawaii for the winter. A lot of my closest friends live there. I was like, oh, this is how I'm going to take care of myself. I'm just going to be in my favorite place on the planet.
That's a good idea, Hawaii.
It was great, but I also did not get any work done. I would be working and then I'd be so frustrated because all my friends would go to the beach and I'd be like, I have this work to do. It was frustrating. So I have found that the thing that I need most and how I take care of myself most is actually just creating more of a simple life in terms of focusing more on my routines, making sure I'm working out regularly, making sure I'm eating enough, making sure that I'm sleeping well. I also have never been someone that is afraid to spend money on myself. Like I'm like, if I want that facial, I get the facial. If I want something that's going to make my life more comfortable, I do it. But I would say probably the number one thing that helps me to be really well resourced is I have like the most amazing community. I have the best friends on the planet. I have such a supportive group of people around me. And that just keeps me so full and so well taken care of. Because if I need something, you know, I've got people that I can rely on. I'm definitely not one of those business owners that's afraid to ask for help. That's never been an issue for me. So I would say my people and my community is probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, and remembering that they are there and that sometimes you just have to call them.
Yes, exactly. It's like, I need you, you know, even today, like after this, one of my best friends is coming over. She's an entrepreneur too. And we're co-working together. We're going to sit at my table, have some coffees and like hang out, but also work. Like things like that keep me really excited about my business.
This is why it's fun to have your own business because you
get
to do those things.
Exactly. You get to just create your own life and create your own schedule.
What's your vision for 2024 and beyond for what you're doing and creating?
Yeah, so I really want to write a book. I've had this, you know, book that I've been sitting with and wanting to write for a while. So in 2024, one of the hopes actually is that we do automate a lot of different things so that I can spend less time doing certain things and more time writing. I love to write. I've been, you know, writing poetry and short fiction and all of those things since I was really, really young. So I want to focus on that a little bit more. And I love speaking. So I really see us really branching out into more speaking engagements and more things like that. I love teaching. I'm a natural teacher. It's where I thrive. I love my one-on-one work with my clients, but when I can really teach a group of people, I'm really happy. So
amazing. Well, then 2024, cheers to speaking gigs, a book, finished one.
Hopefully, maybe not like fully published, but I'd like to have most of it written this year.
Yeah. What is it? Can you give us a little insight what the book will be about?
Yeah. So when I was working as a therapist and then also doing the astrology piece, and there was that overlap, I started to notice certain patterns in my clients of it's what I call moon archetypes. This is a system that I created. And I found that any moon connections with the outer planets, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto, create certain imprints in childhood that create a certain pattern in life that then also is connected to certain spiritual gifts. And so I do a lot of work with those four moon archetypes. They're the sage, the oracle, the muse, and the mermaid. I do a lot of that work in my work with clients, but I'd like to write a book about it so that people don't have to work with me to get access to that information.
Okay, so the book about the moon.
Yes, yeah.
That's lovely. And I see you have a beautiful moon behind you as well in the picture.
Yeah, that's my sister actually drew that. So it's like me as an alien. She painted it a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this knowledge. And when people want to find you or your courses, where should they go and how should they connect with you?
Yeah, so we are the Cosmic Laundry on everything on Instagram, on TikTok, cosmiclaundry.com. Make sure you put the in front of it. If you put Cosmic Laundry, it'll take you to like a girl that I think she had an old jewelry account that she doesn't use anymore, so there's nothing on there. So it's always the Cosmic Laundry. Or you could find me at GiselleBlamondin.com as well, but I don't really have much on that website. The Cosmic Laundry is the spot.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And anything special coming on? So you said horoscopes and more astrology in your membership from New Year, right?
And I'm really, really excited. Something that I use a lot in my own practice is like sleep affirmations and subliminals. I'm always like, if I can, this is where I love the work that I did in learning about the brain in my undergrad. Like sometimes I'm like, why did I spend so long in school? And then I'm like, oh, this is why, because I understand the brain so well and it's so helpful. And so I'm kind of like, I love to find the easiest way to manifest or do my spiritual work. And one of the easiest things that you could do is listen to subliminals at night while you're sleeping and while your brain is in that theta state. And so I'm gonna, really play around with creating those for people in the membership based on kind of the energy of the month. So they'll be a new one every
Beautiful.
month.
It's really yummy.
It's really fun. And it's going to be a fun creative process for me too. So I'm excited
Yeah.
about it. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you so much for all this knowledge. And everyone who is listening to the podcast, go check out the Cosmic Laundry and Giselle and find your midheaven and other parts of your chart that might be useful for you, for your business. And yeah, get in touch.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.